If parenthood came with a GPS, it would most likely just say recalculating. Join Yolandi Becker and her guest experts Wednesdays at 11 a.m. Bump and Beyond, the show about pregnancy and babies, is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Yes, you are on Bump and Beyond, and I am your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we are talking parenting. And today, one of my favorite guests are back on. It is integrative life coach Sureta Live, who's joining me. And we're talking about introduction to solids. I do have to say, though, that I have spoken about this topic before. I think I've done two or three shows before about introduction to solids. And I please encourage you to go listen to those talks as well. It was various guests. So if you want to go listen to any of my podcasts, please go have a listen to hifm.com and go have a listen to those podcasts specifically about introduction to solids. Obviously, we want to compliment on that discussion. But I want to first start by sharing, and I'm very sure even this I've shared with you before, is the fact that I actually started with rice cereal with both my children when they were small. And I do have to say, though, that in lots of ways, I don't think it did anything bad. But what I actually want to, on that note, just highlight is the fact that this was 11, 13 years ago that I'm talking about. And the technology and the information and the research on introduction to solids, but also nutrition, has evolved so much over the last 10 years. Starting with rice cereal is not appropriate anymore. Actually, that's the giveaway of this. There's better things to start with. That being said, if you are starting with rice, it's not the end of the world if you have started with it, because I have two very healthy growing children. So in the end of the day, nothing happened. And it's also very interesting, both my children's journeys, because Oscar, my eldest, oh my word, introducing solids with him was a disaster. I mean, honestly, he was a great eater. I mean, I remember the pediatrician advised that we started with solids. I think he was like 4.5 months. He had severe reflux, but he was a huge boy. So I started with solids. I brought the spoon to his mouth and it opened like a little bird and he ate. Obviously, it was not a lot in the beginning and we gradually increased the amount, but he was good at eating solids in that sense. But first of all, introducing more. So the pureed foods, fantastic. Not all foods he wanted to eat, but when I had to start putting in more like pieces of food, he was horrible with that. It was really a disaster. So I pureed his food for way longer than what I should have done, that I know, but he was just not good at it. I also don't know if I didn't give him the right opportunity to do so, because I didn't really let him touch food or anything too much, but he was so, I remember he didn't like touching food. And even as a toddler, he was such a picky eater. He was not an adventurous eater. Fast forward to 13 years, I can honestly tell you, he is such a foodie. Oscar, unless it's moving, he won't eat it. But everything else, he loves food. He loves different food. He loves things like spinach, things like mussels and prawns and like sushi and spicy food. And any kind of spicy food. He's an extremely, and like I said, I think his only thing is that if it moves, he won't eat it. But anything else goes, and he would try it. Even if I wouldn't like everything, he definitely has said to me, okay, never eating that again. But he will try anything. So even though it started off like very dodgy, I feel, and it was very trying. Oh, I remember at one point I even covered everything in yogurt. I did everything wrong with him, I feel, when it started. All the things that they tell you shouldn't be doing, I did with him. And again, he turned out absolutely fine and great. My daughter, on the other hand, first of all, I missed the window of introduction to solids slightly, because with the second one, it's always a little bit like, Not that I completely missed it, but when she was 4.5 months, I was like, oh my word, I forgot I have to introduce solids eventually and whatever. And then I'm like, I brought the spoon and she was not interested. And I just took it as a sign she's not ready yet. And then I think every week after that, once I tried, and she only started around like 5.5 months. And then it was really, she was so great at it, like different food she would eat. She would basically eat what we ate. So I was like, just like made my food like smaller, and she basically ate from my plate, but from very small. And she ate everything, and it was really, she was wonderful. And now fast forward 11 years, and she is the one that is full of crap. I don't know if there's any science towards this, but from my two, I also do have to say, I mean, I'm now saying she's not. She also eats weird food, and she will always, because my rule in the house is you have to try everything twice before you're, not once, twice before you say no to it. So even if you then say I don't like it, then it's fine. But she, I mean, I also don't think, I'm now saying she's. From the two of them, she's the more fussy one. But in the same breath, when I say fussy, she's fussy about normal kid things. Like she doesn't eat spicy food. I didn't eat spicy food until I was in university. So I also can't really, I don't think it's a weird thing for children not to like spicy food. Unless you grow up with spicy food. But she also eats prawns and things like weird food like that. Really, they shouldn't eat these things. But she also, in the same breath, there's lots of things like that where she's very adventurous with food and she will eat it. So that's what I'm saying. So she's not, she won't eat spinach. I mean, what 11-year-old really eats spinach, I guess. So she is a little bit more fussy, but in the same breath. So my takeaway and my start up with this conversation is the fact that in the end of the day, starting with solids, you have this idea that it's going to be your be all and end all for your journey. It's the start and the beginning of a lifelong journey. And it might start off rocky, and in the end, yes, maybe it will, but maybe it starts off, it doesn't mean that you're doing something right or wrong. It might just be a phase. And even Kath McGaw, which I interviewed a while ago, she was on the same note where she was saying, what do you call it? Her son for a long time didn't eat any fruits, and now he eats it. He's an adult now, but anyway. Suret, my guest today, Suret Alive, is integrative life coach, and she really dedicates her life to supporting women to navigate through this healthy lifestyle. And I think it's maybe not even supporting women, I'd say, I think it's also supporting families through navigating these things. Suret, I've had such an intro now. How was your own journey with your children introducing solids?
Mine was also, I think let's back up a bit. It's really nice to listen to someone else's journey because yours is the perfect example of that we cannot really make a mistake. And I think that's what I've come across the most with the moms that I work with. They are so scared to make a mistake. We can only have a little bit of control in the beginning because at a later stage, we will not have control about what our children put in their mouths. So we have only a little bit of control now, and we can use our influence, but I don't think we could make mistakes. We could only make adjustments. And mine was also, I think I quite enjoyed mine, but my journey was one of eczema and allergies and spit ups and reflux. And the moment I started giving solids, it became worse. So I also started with all the grains and all the everything that they recommend we don't do. And then all the allergies just became worse until I decided I have to fix this from the inside. So let me find the most cost-effective way to fix all the little niggles that I see on the outside of the body. And I, in my maybe not being as clever in the moment, felt that let me try and fix it with food. And I found lots of joy in doing it like that.
Ah, I love that. I'm looking forward to hear more about that just now.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
If you've just joined me, yes, you are on 101.9 High FM. And this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting. And today, I've had Surette on a couple of times now. So please go listen to the podcast we've done before as well. She's an integrative life coach and Surette Life is joining me. And we're talking about introduction to solids, but not the standard, I feel, introduction to solids talk. If you want to go find out what are the signs for readiness, when to start with solids, I've got shows on that. Go listen to that. Please do. We want to talk a little bit more about how you can incorporate nutritious food into your child's diet. And I mean, Surette has quite a lot of extensive personal experience, she just mentioned, from a baby with eczema and things like that. Now, from the inside out, she mentioned, you want to fix it. If you want to be part of the conversation, of course, you can WhatsApp us. WhatsApp us on 061-895-1019. But please remember that our podcast will be available afterwards on highfm.com. So, Surette, you mentioned that your own child had eczema and issues. And I think that's one of the scariest things when it comes to introduction to solids is the fact that you're so afraid that your child's going to have an allergic reaction or that they, I don't know, have anything like that. And I think that, and or choke, I think is also one of the things. So I think that's
one of the biggest fears.
Yeah, like that you're really... I really think we build it up in our heads a lot more than what it really is. And like you said, it's actually for me as well. It was a joyful experience as well, introducing. Food has always been a joyful experience for me, that I have to say. And again, this is the start of, and it's not even a lie. It's not, introduction to solids, not the start. It's the follow-up because you started feeding your child milk. From day one, that's the start of the feeding journey. And that should symbolize to you how beautiful the feeding journey is for your child, is because you started with it. If you're breastfeeding or bottle feeding, it doesn't matter. A big part of the feeding journey is bonding. Just because now you start with something that's solids and things like that shouldn't take the bond away from feeding. You should always try to incorporate bonding, family time as part of feeding. And that's something you have to think about. So it starts off as a given because most of the time the food is obviously attached to you, but you should continue that journey of wanting bonding and wonderfulness as part of it. But now, what you were saying, Surette, is that how do you now incorporate these whole nutritious foods into starting solids without overcomplicating? Because I feel that's also, you know, when we think of like, oh, we have to eat healthy, I think we completely go into a frenzy.
Absolutely, yes. And that can also take away from the bonding part. So usually when I want to encourage my clients to create nutritious food for the babies, my first line of conversation is you have to be in a good place. So either you need support if you're emotionally not coping with the whole new postpartum baby life, then you need to get support to prepare the foods for you. And support means either buying pre-prepared food for the baby or getting someone to prepare the food for you in your house, or then you either put the baby in daycare or in someone that can look after the baby so that you could prepare the food yourself. Because to not be in a good place mentally and then try and create nutritious food for your baby could be extremely overwhelming. And we want mom's mental health to come first because baby wants bonding with you before baby wants to eat good food. But then, secondly, I'm extremely passionate about feeding your baby good food. So so to answer your question, how do we incorporate good nutritious food without overcomplicating it? So the moment we cook at home, it becomes a little bit complicated. That is just the bottom line of it. But my best answer is usually to batch cook the food. So to find at least one day in a week, or even just one morning in a week. So you don't have to take a full day out of your home, just one morning in a week to batch cook. And even if it's only for the baby, so not for the whole family, and to batch cook. And then when you batch cook, to use the best quality ingredients that you can find. But by saying those two things, so my answer is batch cooking and quality ingredients. But that's already goes with a lot of time, because batch cooking takes about 3 or 4 hours, maybe a morning or a day. And then finding quality ingredients means you have to go out of the house, shop for the ingredients, buy it, get it back home, prepare it. So that could become a bit overwhelming if you don't have any support. But I think ultimately, with the nutritious food, we want to protect our babies in terms of the gut. So we want to protect the gut. We want to protect their skin. We want to protect their immunity, and we want to protect their brain development. So also in the line of nutritious food, when we're starting, if for the only the first while when we introduce solids to our baby and we feel strong enough mentally to do all of that, then I always say, work hard now. Do the hard work in the first 8 or 10 weeks when you have control over what's going into baby's mouth. And then after that, you will reap the rewards. So then the baby will go to school. You don't have the control anymore. Then you don't have to stress about it. Then you've already gained the immunity, the gut health, the skin health, the brain development. So it's, I see it more as an investment. If it sounds overwhelming, see it as an investment.
Oh, and I mean, it is like you said. I mean, I always say life is not meant to be done alone. And I have to say, there's so many. I even had Marita from Magies vir Liefde on, or Tummies Full of Love on the show. And she has spoken about also allergy, one of their lines that they have where you can, if your child, if you as a family have a history of allergies, it's always good to have a nice way to introduce allergens into the family. But also, you can have these, like Suren said, pre-made meals where it's separate little things where you can have it or you can cook it. And it does take a little bit of effort initially, but I remember it. My son even got an orange nose in the beginning because he was eating so much pumpkin, and because I make
Same here.
pumpkin and carrots, and I mean, they eat so little in the beginning. So even I think it was 2 cups of pumpkin and 3 carrots, and that made like these little ice blocks that I had a gazillion of them.
So I went through the same thing with my baby, literally becoming quite orange or like a tanned look because of the amount of carrots that I gave my baby. And eventually, when people would ask me about it, when I went to vaccinate the baby or family members, they would see it. It's very clear. And my simple answer was, the carrots are my coping mechanism. That's how I get through this. And the moment you answer it very honestly, then people forgive you for the
So,
orange baby.
but luckily, they luckily do change eventually in from the coloring because they don't just eat it. But I can very also clearly remember his little orange little bit nose, yeah. And I was saying that he's turning into one of those Charlie and the Chocolate Factory men. I can't remember what they're called now. Anyway, yeah. If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bumpin' Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting, and we're talking about adding on to your bonding experience and nutrition experience with your child with introduction to solids as part of this journey of feeding them and bonding with them. And that brings me, my guest today, obviously, is Suret. Obviously, is Suret alive? If you just joined me, you didn't know that. We are talking, like I said, introduction to solids, and we've now spoken about that. Food is bonding, but it's also important to include proper ingredients and proper food into that introduction to solids. But In general, I also, like I said, for me, a big part of feeding should always be the bonding and, connecting as during that time. And again, yes, now we say introduction to solids, but your feeding journey starts from hour or minute one, basically. The first time when your child is drinking colostrum, that's where the journey of the feeding starts, and it's the bonding happens almost automatically initially. And as your child is getting older, we forget that this should remain. And I can tell you, even this morning, my son, after breakfast, he actually said his stomach hurts from all the laughing that we did at the breakfast table. And that's the type of thing that you want to start your day with. Don't you think after a long weekend, your kids go to school and that's like you just laugh so much at the at breakfast. And that's how you want to start your day. Of course it is. So the bonding and the connection should be a very big part of it. But what role I mean, now I'm saying that we have a role there, but what is your perception, Suret, of the role the family plays in general eating and setting the lifestyle habits when it starts now with the introduction to solids?
Yes, so I fully agree with the laughing morning. We want the connection and we want to create from a very small age the positive connection with food and what food can do in families. So dinner tables could be discussion places or places where we resolve issues that we've got, where we connect. So we want to have a positive connotation with the food. And also, usually when I present the food course to my new moms that's starting with the solids, I also remind them that this is the moment where they can connect with the baby one-on-one. So we are around the house, cooking, cleaning. We're always working as the mom, and the father is very often, not always, the one that's playing, that's creating all the fun for the baby. But the moment we feed our babies, that's the connection we can have with them and we can build with them. And then also, if it's overwhelming to think that you have to cook all this food for your baby, then how about just exploring the idea of adjusting your lifestyle. So let the baby eat what you eat, but then your lifestyle also has to be one of connection to food, quality ingredients, homemade food. I find it's easier to adjust the house, the lifestyle of the whole house, instead of only focusing on what I'm going to give to my baby.
Oh, and I mean, I think that's, and I mean, I was even saying that to a friend of mine over the weekend, like about exercise and eating well with, like people always say that it has to be part of your lifestyle. And I mean, honestly, before I was, when people told me that, I was like, whatever, okay, yeah, it should be. But it really, for me, it is exactly what you're saying is because I am eating a certain way and certain healthy foods, I generally cook healthy for my family. And that doesn't mean we don't, we this weekend, too much chocolates and sweets were consumed. But I don't feel bad about it because it's one weekend that we binged a little bit and we did a little bit, but that's not our general kind of feeding. And I think, yeah, I love that
Well,
you're saying that it's the connection and the wonderfulness that needs to be part of it.
and a way to make it easier also, instead of saying healthy, because the moment we hear healthy, we
No.
hear weight loss, hard work, like the word healthy has a bit of a negative connotation. And if we could replace that, especially for new parents, if we could replace the healthy word with quality. So, yes, as a new mom, I do need chocolate to survive, but I'm going to buy the best quality that I can afford. And the moment I buy a good quality, I cannot buy 10 slabs a month or five
No.
slabs a month because of the quality. The moment I focus on quality of what I put in my body, then you move away from I'm not allowed to eat out or I'm not allowed to eat
No.
takeaways. But when you move out of the house, it's still going to be quality instead of the fear of healthy food and creating healthy food.
No. And I think I like that a lot. And I think that's the important, again, It's a long game. Not a
Yes.
short game. So short things will happen and you can, I mean, I wasn't even want to say it's a cheat. It's just my
And if
life. I eat sometimes
yes.
chocolates and it's fine. It's
And
also,
also
that's nice.
the quality, if we focus on the quality instead of healthy foods, because people have a different idea about healthy foods, and the in inverted commas, the healthy foods that we want to give our babies are not necessarily the right foods. But if we look at quality foods, then we get to the nutrients that says we want to give our babies nutrient dense foods. So if we give them a food, we know that there's a lot of nutrients in there, that even if they eat only one little piece of meat tonight, or one little whatever we created or cooked for them, then it's nutrient dense, and we want whatever we give to them to be easy digestible, and we also want it to be a gut protecting and healing food, and we get that when we buy quality.
And I mean, that's exactly now what my next question was about, is specifically what is important, because it's also now, I said we started with grains with my, but I mean, then other studies show that you should start with veg. And then obviously we know that we also shouldn't wait too long before introducing protein to our children because they have an iron reserve that gets depleted around 6 months. So we need to start, you can't wait too long before introducing protein into their diet. But what are the most important nutrients to focus on when you're starting the solids?
Yes, so as I said, we want it to be nutrient dense. So I'm going to give you an example now. We want it to be nutrient dense. So whatever, if I put one spoonful of something in the baby's body, then there must be a lot of nutrients in that, because we don't know if they're going to want it, if they're going to be moody today. So even if I just get one spoonful in, it has to be a powerful spoon. And then we want their food to be easy digestible, so to be very soft on their gut lining, because they've only had breast milk or formula milk since up until now. So this is a whole new world for them, and we want to make it as comfortable as possible on the gut lining. So examples of food that are easy digestible will be fermented foods. And this is the people get quite scared of fermented foods, but it's very easy and doable. And then also cooked foods to give the baby. So to, if possible, to not start with the raw foods, because that's quite harsh on the gut lining. Later on, we could get to that. And then any gut healing food that we can easily find out. So I really enjoy the first foods that I give the babies are usually some form of meat stock. Because as I explained with the one spoonful that you give in the bodies in meat stock, when I made the meat stock, I could have added veggies, I could have added fats, I could have added protein. So that's what I mean by one spoonful is very nutrient dense if I get that into the baby.
And I mean, if
So
you just
something.
add that to like the carrots.
Yes. Yeah, that's the base then. So that is a nutrient dense, like a little chicken soup that I often recommend to start with the babies. And full of lots of protein, fats, you get everything you want, you get in
No, and I mean, that's the, I've never even thought of that.
there.
I feel so silly now.
So that's why I've got a job.
Because it really makes such a huge big difference if you're, and again, I remember also asking, I remember like I make a bolognese, for instance, that has a like sauce that has a ridiculous amount of vegetables in it, and none of my family knows it. I put so much carrot in it, and they love the sauce and they love the bolognese, but I'm sneakily still adding a ridiculous amount of nutrients. But I only started doing that later, and now I realize, oh, it could have been already happening when my kids were much younger. We're learning so much and more on this just now.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting, and we've had such a nice talk already about a different kind of talk, I feel, with introduction. We're not just talking about when you should do it, and the signs. I've done that before, and I've got lots of shows that you could go listen to on HiFM.com specifically about those type of things. And we're talking about how you can really incorporate nutritious, like densely nutritious foods into your baby's introduction of solids without overthinking it and without overdoing it and overcomplicating it. My guest today, again, Sureta Love, she's been on my show a couple of times before. Again, you can go listen to those talks. We've had really great talks about different forms of being healthy as moms. Also, we had a great talk, I remember that now, also about burnout that you need to go listen to. So you can get those on HiFM.com. If you don't have our app yet, why don't you? You should really go download the app, HiFM, the HiFM app, because there you can access my podcast, but all of the podcasts on HiFM as well. And you can live stream wherever you are. Makes it super easy to catch because, I mean, HiFM are... radius is only so big, but you want to be able to listen it wherever you are in the world. So please do go and download the app. It makes your life a lot easier. We've now spoken about those nutrition dense foods, nutrient dense. Am I saying it right? I'm like getting tongue twisted here this morning. Nutrient dense foods that you can introduce, and just by adding, like you said, chicken stock, properly cooked, I assume, chicken stock,
homemade
chicken stock, or just a soup, like you said, like a broth that your child can eat. But I mean, even adding those things into, and I mean, I've even said that to parents, like even adding plain yogurt to your vegetables and things like that, it changes the dynamic of that. If your child likes the what do you call it, carrots, to add something to it is not really going to change the taste that significantly, but it is going to make a huge difference, that one spoon that they have. And that's sometimes, oh, you know, it's fun, that introduction to solids. But what is now some of the, so now we've talked about these things that we want to introduce and you want to have, but what are some of the things that you would say you should avoid recommend or introducing in the beginning?
So the avoidance, the moment we say for children to avoid, then we trigger a lot of parents because everyone. So my biggest question that I got from family members was, but when will he start eating sugar? Or is he now going to be the only one, the only poor little one at the party not having a cupcake? Okay, no, you're not going, whatever we avoid for the baby, this is for starting solids only.
No.
So starting solids is about 8 weeks, 10 weeks. From there on, you could decide. I recommend it to do the solids journey up to a year, where I was really pedantic about the type of foods into the baby's body. But after a year, we have now done the hard work of protecting the gut, the skin, the immunity. So then they are going to go to school, to parties, to wherever, and we're not going to have control about what we want them to avoid. So the moment I say what you're going to avoid, don't worry, it's just a short while, just for protection.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to avoid any form of processed foods. I want to say, if it wasn't homemade in your kitchen, then you don't put it in your baby's body. But we understand time is a thing. So then we buy pre-prepared baby food, but then make sure that you buy baby food from a good quality, like, for instance, Moch is for Liefde, Tummy is Full of Love, Rooted, Organic Kids. They are focused and passionate about what they put in the baby's bodies. So first of all, if it's what processed, is going to avoid. Then we want to try and avoid starchy vegetables for the beginning. So that's, for instance, potatoes. The only reason we want to avoid the starchy vegetables for a while is because we want to give the gut lining time to develop, and we want to support the baby's blood sugar. So that's only the only reason why we're going to hold back a little bit with that. And then,
and I mean,
we
that's also one of those things where parents are often like, oh, my baby's going to sleep better and do all these things better once I start with solids. And again, if your baby's digestive system is not ready for the solids you're introducing, it can cause gassiness and all sorts of digestive issues that you don't want and that is difficult to repair if you're not doing it. So yes, listen to Suret.
And I'm also a big advocate for not doing 100 foods under one. So rather focus on the quality. So there's a big movement saying, how many food groups could you get into the baby's body under the
That sounds like a lot of pressure.
And so they aim for 100 foods under the age of one. I don't recommend that. I recommend less, but quality. And also, if you as a busy mom trying to put 100 food groups in your baby's body, you've got no idea what caused the allergic reaction. You've got no idea why sleep is going haywire. Now you have to prepare 100 foods. That's a lot. So choose a few foods, but very good quality. And then you put that in your baby's body for a while. And from there, when you feel strong and the baby's body has is coping with all the new things in the body, then we go for that. I would also recommend to hold back on the grains. So as South Africans, we've all started or want to start with oats and pap and braai pap and kutu pap and all those things. I'm not saying if it's in your culture and you want to do that, then try it. But I generally, with babies with allergic reactions, recommend that we hold back on the grains. If it fits into your lifestyle, at least up until one. But if you manage to do it for a little longer, then we want to do it until the molars came out.
Yeah.
Molars, yes. Because that is our clue that the gut lining is developed enough for the starches and the grains to be consumed and to be
interesting. And I mean,
it's not just an opinion, it's a real scientific thing. But I understand in South African culture it's sometimes a bit difficult for the grains. If it
but does that also mean no bread?
Yes.
Oh, that is so interesting. I mean, I don't feel like my kids ate a lot of bread, that I also have to say. But I mean, it's like a little toasty with like Marmite on it.
So I don't want to lose the moms who are relying on bread like I relied on carrots. So I'm not saying it's a hard no, but I'm saying if the baby has a sensitive gut and some allergic reactions, trouble sleeping, we see some feeding difficulties, then we hold back on grains until the molars are out. And then we know the gut lining is developed enough for that. And even then, if we've kept it away for so long, we have to have a slow introduction, like for instance with sourdough instead of just normal bread. So there's lots of ways to introduce it slowly until we get to the age where we don't have to avoid anything for the babies.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
And just like that, another show is coming to an end, and it was a great show. If you've just joined me, you've missed my show. You are on 101.9 High FM. And I'm your host, Yolandi Becker. And I've been speaking to Sureta Live about introduction to solids and introducing healthy, whole, nutrient-dense foods for your baby and making this solid journey a wonderful build up to your whole to the lifetime of feeding with your child together. So Red, before you go, is there one last thing that you would advise or message that you would want parents to know when they're nervous about starting solids?
Yes, I don't want them to be nervous. So get to a place where you're not nervous, even if that means you have to hold back with the solids a little bit to get into a mental place. So rather invest in your own mental health before you start with the solids journey, because you've already done the pregnancy, you've already done the birth, and you've already done the newborn stage. That is a lot to cope with. Please focus on yourself now. Invest in yourself to get into a place where you can comfortably and without anxiety present food to your baby, because we really want in a gentle way to introduce the baby to food for everyone to be fun. So I would really say get to a place where you are not anxious, and then also the baby will not be anxious. You won't be afraid that you make mistakes. If you see there's something that's not going right, then we can easily make an adjustment, but you're not going to have a mental breakdown in week three of creating solids for your baby, because you've looked after yourself then first.
Sered, it was so nice. And I know that you help moms on this journey. So how can parents find you if they need assistance, or moms find you when they need assistance on this journey?
Yeah, so they can. I've got a website. My website is suretalive.com. But for my Starting Solids course, I've got a website, startingsolids.co.za. And that is an 8 to 10 week course that I present for moms wanting to start solids. And I take them through it step by step to make it easy, digestible, and fun.
Oh, thank you so much for joining me, Suret. That was so fantastic having you on. On that note, like I said, and I think, I mean, Suret also said that, is that the whole bonding experience that comes with it, and if you're readily ready mentally to start this journey with your baby, connection is going to happen while you're introducing solid. And she, I mean, she used the word fun, but fun is just also another way of how we connect with our children. And our babies, and you want that connection to happen while you're doing it. It's not always, don't put the pressure on yourself that every single moment there's going to be a connection. It's impossible to always be there, but you want to be there as much as possible with your child and be there in the moment and not be overstressed and worrying about this. But again, in my own journey with food, it's been a beautiful journey so far, and I look forward to many more meals with my family. It's one of my favorite times of the day. We always have breakfast together. Lunch, not so much. That can't happen all the time. Often working, school, activities doesn't allow that, but we more often than not, 6 out of 7 days, we have dinner together as well. So, and that's, again, special times for us together as a family. And to be honest, it's one of those things. Now I'm at a stage where my children are also helping me cook, and they're part of the making of the meal part, which brings a whole different dynamic to it as well. But I'm not creating this expectation that you should have all of these things. I'm wanting you to see the longer picture of a journey that you're starting and that you're in the beginning phases of with your 4-month-old, 5-month-old, 6-month-old. And that you see that this foundation that you're setting is a foundation for something in the future. And there, I've shared, I have 100% not done it the way that is what is recommended. I've made lots of mistakes. Also, my children don't love every meal I make. Sometimes it takes me 2 hours to cook a meal, and then they're like, oh, this was disgusting. Yeah, it's not nice when that happens, but it happens. And that's what I'm saying. And sometimes I also make mistakes with regard to those things. For sure I do, but it's fixable. Don't make one mistake the be all and end all of your journey. Most of the things, and also when you decide something, you might say, oh, I'm now going to start with solids. Maybe you start and then it's like you realize, okay, maybe the timing's not right. Then you wait a week and then you do it again. It is okay, luckily. Thank you so much for joining me today. It was wonderful having you. And I want to remind you, one of the greatest gifts you can give your child is the example of kindness. Thank you so much for joining me. Until next time, enjoy your day.